announced unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Ghost. Then is said the Hail Mary, and after that, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Another Hail Mary is said. In the last part of that, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is, probably you're familiar with, these are the sentences that you say during the Angelus. The Angelus said at 6 in the morning, traditionally, 6 in the morning, at noon, and at night, wherein we recognize the incarnation of our Lord, the moment of the Annunciation. And why am I speaking of this today? Well, in 2 days, there's a feast of one of the feasts of the church that's celebrated in a lot of parts of the church, Our Lady of Walsingham. So I'm going to read a little story about how that came about. There was a young lady in 1061 in Walsingham, England, and this is how the story goes. The story of how Walsingham became a place of pilgrimage is enshrined in the hearts and love for Our Lady. In 1061, the lady of the manor of Little Walsingham in Norfolk, a widow named Richildis, prayed asking how she could honor the Annunciation. In answer to this prayer, Mary led Richildis in spirit to Nazareth and showed her the house in which she had first received the angel's message. Richildis' visual memory allowed her to build another house just like it in Walsingham, a place where people could come to honor Mary and her son, remembering especially the mystery of the Annunciation and Mary's joyful yes to the conceiving the Savior. But now pilgrims need not go so far. In England itself, there was now a new Nazareth, built with one of her countrywomen. After some time, Augustinian monks took over the care of the Holy House and enshrined in it a special chapel which was within a larger church. Pilgrims began to come from all over England and even abroad. Kings and queens of the realm visited Walsingham, as well as ordinary people seeking help, healing, and inner peace. The shrine was destroyed at the time of the Reformation by Henry VIII, and only rebuilt at the beginning of the 20th century, mainly due to the inspired leadership of the Anglican vicar of Walsingham, Father Hoke Patton. He revived devotion to Our Lady under this title and built a new shrine, church, and holy house in the village, together with a statue model on that depicted on the ancient priory seal. You may have seen this in places. It shows a seated Mary with her son on her lap, our Lord, holding a book of the Gospels. Walsingham has become a place of ecumenical pilgrimage with a growing understanding of the original message of Walsingham as received by Richildis. It should be a place where the joy of the Annunciation could be remembered and celebrated, for the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us through Mary's joyful and ready yes, spoken with an ordinary house, and within this ordinary house that would become the boyhood home of the Son of God Himself. So we can come thither to that house as we remember the words of the Angelus, where we say the Hail Mary 3 times with those preceding senses for each time we recite that. And it's a great way to remember the Annunciation, the way that Mary said yes to God, the way we should. She said it without reservation. She knew that within Jewish law, we've heard this before, but I think it's good to hear it again. She could have been stoned, and her espoused, the man who was espoused to, Joseph, could have likewise suffered as a result of that. But she said yes to God. And Joseph said yes to God, although we talk about Joseph, and he was one of the most silent of all the people mentioned in the Bible. There was very little said of him after they returned from Egypt. And I don't know that Joseph ever really spoke a word. So that what this tells us, the message to us, I think, is yes, we can say to God in a very visible and physical way, or we can be like Joseph, where God calls us to be silent witnesses at times, just to live the life before people and to say yes to God in ways that people may not see, but yet they might see just through the silence of one taking martyrdom, receiving martyrdom, whether it be white martyrdom or blood martyrdom, and just taking it quietly, and yet showing strength in taking that martyrdom. So this comes to us today on where the world seems to be melting around us. And we can give that silent witness. We're, by driving here, probably in silence, sort of reflective of the Lord's Day, we've made a silent witness for our Lord. By being here today, now we're making a physical and a visible sign of our devotion to our Lord and what He's done for us. So now, and I have to tell myself this, never be afraid to stand up for God. In the marketplace, at home, or in anywhere you go. And as it's been said of St. Francis of Assisi, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. So I close with the beautiful Ave Maria that is said at the Angelus, and something to think about at 6 in the morning when you get up, perhaps at noon, and in the evening. I remember when I was a kid, I'd hear the bells of the Angelus being read, and the nuns and the priests that lived in the area behind and in front of us would drop to their knees and say thus, and they would say it in Latin, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.